Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay for the things that you might have done.
Hi everyone, my name is Dr. Michael Wald and you're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. This is a very special show. It's a show about why you are aging the way you are. So today's show is actually a question, you know, why are you aging the way that you are? Now, whether it's arthritic issues or cholesterol or blood pressure problems, whether you have memory issues, neuromusculoskeletal problems, maybe you have constipation, maybe you have diarrhea, maybe you have reflux disease or heartburn, you might have a cancer, you might have an autoimmune disease, diabetes, pre-diabetes, it doesn't matter what it is. Today's show, I'll cover the underlying reasons why you might be aging the way that you are. And if you're feeling great and you don't have any of those problems I just mentioned or any other health problems, well, that is awesome. But this is also a show about prevention. All of my Ask the Blood Detective shows are different in one key way from some other shows you might listen to. I take things simply a step further. The term blood detective implies that we're going to detect, we're going to go deeper into how things are working, not just in the body, but how you can navigate your health efforts throughout the course of your life by having some knowledge about your blood work, your results of imaging tests. In other words, how you can be more proactive. And I would suggest that you consider being more proactive. And for those of you that consider yourselves very proactive, again, I invite you to listen to today's show because we'll be talking about ways in which you can take the reins with your health, because as useful as medical care is in the United States and holistic health care, I can promise you as a practitioner that the individual who knows more, who is involved more, simply gets better care and attention. Sometimes to the extent where it can make the entire difference between life and death, actually. So having gone to chiropractic college and medical school and nutrition school, I can tell you with that varied background and my experience with patients, people who want to get well and stay well so they can enjoy life, that the passive individual simply does not benefit as much as the proactive individual. And the reason why I mentioned the basics of my education is that it occurred to me as I was growing older and from when I was young, that the more knowledge that I obtained in a number of health areas, the better I could take care of myself. And then when I realized I wanted to become a healthcare provider, the better I can take care of my family, friends, and then people who entrusted me with their health, those that wanted to work with me. So there is this concept, which is the first important point today, of holistic care, which to me says that an individual like you, when you go to a healthcare provider, should be offered a variety of treatment possibilities and preventative possibilities from wherever they come from, whether it's from traditional medicine, whether it's from any area of alternative medicine, whether it's herbology, or whether it's simply the use of vitamins, minerals, and of course, dietary things. Maybe it's from chiropractic, acupuncture. The point is that I believe each of you deserves to know what's available. Even if you are, let's say, not someone who likes to take advantage of, let's say, medications first in medicine, I might still let you know that these are possibilities and you should simply be aware of them. And many times, by the way, for those of you out there that are people who prefer not to use medications first, I'm certainly one of those. And most of my patients are people who believe that they do not have drug deficiencies, you know? When we have a headache, we don't have an aspirin deficiency. The point is that most people that I see want to fix problems rather than cover them up with medication. Sometimes, however, maybe that's all that there is. I'm not saying that medications are appropriate for you or not appropriate for you. I don't know you. But simply that you deserve full disclosure of information. Now, today's show is why you are aging the way you are. We do not all age the same. That is obvious on the surface. You know, I'm a 51-year-old man with no physical limitations, and I run marathons and I do martial arts. I lift weights. I have no limitations that hold me back from enjoying life. And I don't think that my level of health was an accident. So from early on, I adapted certain health strategies, certain ways of eating and taking certain nutritional supplements. And I based that information initially, when I didn't know a whole lot, on just what I heard on the radio or read in a book or even was told by a healthcare provider. Now, as time went on, I realized that the best way to control or have a real influence upon how you actually age is to know something about the testing that you're getting and to base all of your nutritional intake, whether it's how you want to eat or what supplements you want to take, against your own biochemistry. Now, when I see patients, they will come to me sometimes with lab work. And a lot of this lab work is useful, and a lot of it misses many things. So for example, you might be thinking, well, I've had blood work that checks vitamin levels, so they looked pretty good. So do I need to take vitamins or minerals or with mineral blood tests? Vitamin and mineral blood tests, for the most part, only give you insight into your nutritional intake for about 3 days. The exception is vitamin D blood levels, which usually indicate vitamin D deficiency if your blood level of vitamin D is low. That's probably been there for many, many, many months. Now, the reason that I'm pointing this out is a blood detective, and if you're going to be your own personal blood detective, which is, again, what this show is about, means that you have to know that if you want to know if you need vitamins and minerals, you don't simply look at their levels in the blood. Levels in the blood tell you nothing about how the body uses those vitamins and minerals or whatever nutrient you're testing. Therefore, if you know that, it's important that you know that there are tests that are what they call functional tests. They will tell you if, let's say, your B vitamins are working well in your body, even though your levels in the blood might be normal. In other words, just because you have normal levels of nutrients in the blood doesn't mean your body's using them. You might have normal levels. You might even have high levels of vitamins in your blood. Like, it's very common for people to have a high level of vitamin B12 in their blood. But that does not mean, it should not imply that your body is using the B12 in your tissues. Remember, your blood bathes the tissues, your organs. For example, if you have a liver problem, the liver uses and activates B12. So if your liver is not working well, if it's not functionally working, remember I said that there are functional ways of figuring out your use of nutrition. If your liver is not working well, your B12 might accumulate in the blood. And it might be normal in the blood, the level of B12, or it might actually be high. And then if your doctors aren't aware of what I just mentioned about the liver not working, causing the B12 to stay normal or high in the blood, then they would say to you, oh, stop taking B12. Speaking of B12, here's the first practical nutrition point. Most individuals, in my opinion, should be on an active form of B12 along with folic acid. So I put together a supplement, my Blood Detective line of supplements. You can look at them on blooddetective.com. And I have a sublingual B12 that is in activated forms of nutrients that bypasses problems with digestion by putting it under the tongue. And if you want to have a health that the average American does, which is not so good, by the way, then you might want normal levels of certain nutrients. But if you want to be healthier, if you want to age better, possibly consider that your levels of certain nutrients should be higher than most, and you would also want to have testing done, which tells you about how you use nutrients. So most of my patients are recommended a sublingual B12 with folic acid, which is called my sublingual B12 product on blooddetective.com, and they take that at least once a day. Beyond that, I need to look at your laboratory work, for example, and questionnaires of your health goals and your current level of health to see if you need more than that. Now, I must give a disclaimer now because I don't know any of you necessarily listening today. Maybe many of you are patients, but the point is, the disclaimer is, you should be seeking some expert health advice. I am not saying that you should take my recommendations until someone has looked at you. But the reality of nutrition in the form of nutritional supplements, which is what I'm talking about now, is that it is so much safer than medication. Maybe in the thousands of times safer proportionately in terms of adverse drug reactions as opposed to adverse nutrient reactions reported to the various government agencies that keep these statistics. The comparison actually of the adverse effects of medications compared to nutrients might even be in the hundreds of thousands of times. My point though is, if you want to age better, yes, the Blood Detective, that's me, believes that you should be taking nutritional supplements in addition to the healthiest diet that you can figure out. Now, what's a healthy diet? Let's talk about that for a moment. Well, a healthy way to eat is dependent on your stage of life, if you're much younger, and then as you go through life, your nutritional needs change. Your nutritional needs, in many cases, for example, like protein, increase because your body starts to break down. It requires more protein. But the problem is, as you start to age, your body does not absorb as well. So you malabsorb protein and other nutrients, but you require more. Now, how we age, how you age, how disease happens is when the degeneration of the organs, let's say from lack of protein, I'm generalizing, but that's a pretty accurate statement. The degeneration of the organs, because we don't absorb enough protein, we don't get enough protein, exceeds your body's ability to repair because you're malabsorbing. If you're over 50, you have a 60% chance that you malabsorb your nutrition. You don't need any gastrointestinal symptoms to have a problem of absorption in your gut. And sadly, gastroenterologists, although they know about malabsorption syndromes, of course, they don't routinely check all the subtle types in individuals unless they feel that person has the most common of malabsorption conditions, like celiac disease, or perhaps a B12 malabsorption. My point is that it's important for you to know, for your health, that there are certain tests of absorption available. You want to ask for them. If your doctor does not want to do those tests for whatever reason, then you go somewhere else, perhaps. I've heard the excuse sometimes where my patients will say to me, Dr. Waldott, you know, I went to my doctor, I asked for these tests, and they said, no, they're very expensive, you don't need them. And I thought for a moment, and I said, well, they are expensive, and yes, insurance does pay for those expensive tests, but those tests are around and available for a reason. And if you have, and I'm talking to you now, if you have any persistent chronic health problem, which means you've had it for several months or more, and you're not healing right and consistently, consider that you have not had the right testing and that you have not therefore figured out from that testing with the help of an expert healthcare provider that knows how to interpret blood work for nutritional needs, you have not had that done. If you have that done, you might find that your level of healing and how you age can get to the next level and can improve. Now, let's talk about absorption again, because most people listening to the show, statistics show, are 50 years and older. That means you probably have some degree of low stomach acid, even if you have heartburn, by the way, which is stomach acid that goes into your esophagus, you can still have low stomach acid in your stomach. If any amount of stomach acid from your stomach gets into your esophagus, even though you might have a low level of stomach acid overall, any amount that gets into your esophagus is too much. The esophagus is not made to be in contact with stomach acid, so heartburn happens. And then primary healthcare providers, gastroenterologists, they will suggest antacids to shut down your stomach acid, which creates more malabsorption, increases your risk of bone loss, of iron anemia, of infections, of mouth, esophageal, and stomach cancer. Am I saying you should never take an antacid? Well, I won't go that far, but I certainly would make that the last choice after we examined how a person eats, the timing of their meals, the content of their meals, how much they're eating at a sitting, and how they're timing their eating with their exercise and other stressors. And there are many nutritional and natural ways to manage heartburn. So that was one form of malabsorption. Another form of malabsorption that causes a person to age badly, because this is what the topic of today's show is, why you age the way you do, is that you might not make enough digestive enzymes. Your pancreas may not make enough protein, carbohydrate, and fat digesting enzymes. And if you don't have enough of those enzymes, then you can't break down your foods properly in your small intestine, and you may not absorb them properly then. And if that's true, as I said earlier, your degeneration process in your body, your aging, will exceed your anti-aging capacity. This show and all of the Ask the Blood Detective shows are here to propose to you that there's a way that you can age that's not the normal way people age, where we do grow older statistically than we have in the past by several years, but we tend to suffer multiple diseases at once, what medicine likes to call politely disease clusters. We have the high cholesterol, we have a little blood pressure issue, we have a little blood sugar issue, our memories are not where they are, our joints hurt, we have diseases and problems that medications are being thrown at. And as important as medications may be at the right time, nutrition is always fundamentally important. So there are tests of stomach acid secretion and pancreatic enzyme output to assess whether or not you're aging the way you are because you malabsorb. In practice, I commonly provide my patients with high-quality pharmaceutical-grade digestive enzymes. Yes, it is true that most supplements you buy in the store, they've been proven to be nearly worthless. They've been shown to do that. They have had assays done of commonly purchased supplements and have found in these bottles that are marketed under many company names that there is either not those ingredients in the bottle or not what the label claimed was in that. And there was an article in the New York Times based on this survey a couple of years ago called What's in Those Supplements? If you go to my website at integratednutritionny.com and you go to the blog section, or you go to blooddetective.com, if you go to that website, both of the blogs are identical. Look up what's in those supplements. The New York State Attorney General's office was involved in this survey of store-bought supplements, and they revealed something that I had found out more than a decade ago when I reported this issue with vitamin quality on Fox News, is that the supplements, generally speaking, in health food stores do not contain what's on the label. So you need to purchase your supplements, if you take them, from reputable healthcare providers who have done their due diligence. If a patient says to me, "Dr. Wald, I have all these other supplements, I want to use them up," I just ask them a common sense question. That, of course, I say is your prerogative to use supplements up. But if you're not getting well, it may not make sense for you to continue doing what you've done before, taking these supplements. Why don't we experiment later? You've done enough experimenting for now. Put them aside. Let me put you on higher quality supplements based on your blood work, based on your health goals, based on our detailed conversation, and then let's see where we get. So sometimes people have a strange logic where they'll say, "Well, I bought these expensive vitamins, I should use them up." That's like going to a movie that you sit in that movie for an hour and it's just terrible. Have you ever walked out on a movie? I have. But sometimes, and I was with someone once, I said, "Listen, this movie's is terrible. Let's get out of here." And my friend said, "Mike, we spent, you know, $40 on these tickets. We have to stay." I'm like, why would we want to stay if it's bad? So don't stick with what you're doing if it's not working, even though you may have a closet full of supplements. It doesn't make sense, at least initially. It's very important that when you attempt to improve your health, you use the right tools. So I have a product called Detox Absorb. That is a pharmaceutical grade group of enzymes for protein, fat, and carbohydrate intake. Virtually all of my patients receive Detox Absorb enzymes, although the dose would be more personalized based upon laboratory testing. But unless a person has ulcers or some other contraindication for taking enzymes, anyone over 50, I believe, requires them. Now, why else might you be aging? You might be aging because you malabsorb. So there are things we can do about that, as we've said. We could take stomach acid under the right supervision. We can take digestive enzymes of protein, carbohydrates, and fats. But I mentioned that you're aging in a certain way because tissues are breaking down. Now, if the tissues are breaking down more in your shoulder and your joints in your hand, for example, you have a certain sort of arthritis, which is how you age. If your body malabsorbs and is breaking down faster than your body can repair itself, and your thyroid is the genetically more susceptible organ with you to show a problem, then you might have hypothyroid symptoms like dry skin and hair, easily wrinkleability. Your skin might be very taut, meaning if you pull on the skin on your hand straight up to the ceiling and you let it go, it doesn't recoil very fast. It's super, super slow because of how it's aging. If your skin ages like that, other organs age like that. My point is, we all age differently, which sounds like different diseases. This person has hypothyroid. This person has migraines. This person has energy or memory issues. This person has joint problems. This person has a weak adrenal gland. This person has neurologic, gastrointestinal, cardiac problems, lymphatic problems. The body breaks down in certain ways because it lacks nutrition. It cannot build itself and repair itself properly. And then depending on the organ or organ systems that fall victim to that, we're said to have a certain disease. So we go to different doctors, most of which do not talk and communicate with one another. Am I right? You know, the continuity of healthcare is very disjointed. So sometimes when patients bring to me laboratory work from different doctors at once, it's very easy to put the puzzle pieces together to say, well, all of this is suggesting that this, that, or the other thing is the fundamental problem for you. But because most doctors will not look at all this different lab work, and if they do take a glance at laboratory work that's, let's say, that's out of their specialty, they will immediately refer you to a specialist in a field, in another field. Now, that makes sense from a medical perspective, but that structure loses the holistic aspect of things, and it's hard to see all the puzzle pieces at once if no one's looking at them. Also, the person looking at them, you tell me, does it sound reasonable that whoever's looking at that laboratory work should have some experience reading laboratory work from multiple specialties at once? So it's not just a matter, is what I'm saying, of you taking all your labs to one sort of doctor, unless that doctor makes it his or her responsibility to think holistically in how they practice, and that's just not what traditional medicine is. I certainly am all for referring people to specialists when needed. All I'm saying is there's a lot of causes and answers to people's health problems right there in all of their months or years of testing that is easy to see if you look at it all at once. Now let's talk about testing then. Testing, I'm getting a message here because I'm messaging right now this show in some areas. And I just wanted to complete an answer to this question someone's asking me right now. They're saying, how much enzyme should I take? So we talked about the detox absorb enzymes, protein, carbohydrate, fat enzymes. I would suggest that you take one enzyme capsule per meal. If you take the enzyme capsule with each meal, it'll help you digest your meal. If you have inflammation issues, which we're going to talk about in a minute, you would take some enzymes with your foods, but you'd also want to take enzymes away from your foods by at least a half an hour because of this simple reason. If you want enzymes to help you digest your food and absorb better so you can heal differently, then take enzymes with your foods. But if you have inflammatory symptoms, which, by the way, if you feel any health problem at all, that means you have some level of inflammation. So inflammation is fundamental to all health problems. So if you have inflammatory issues, you'd want to take some amount of enzymes, perhaps two or three a day. It depends on your weight. It depends on your goals. I can't tell you specifically, but you'd want to take some enzymes away from your meals because if you take them away from your meals, they're not wasted digesting your meals. So you take enzymes away by an hour. Then they are much more focused on overall body inflammation. So here's the next question. The first question was the title of the show, Why You Age the Way You Do. And this question is, how do you modify inflammation? Now, there's different types of inflammation. If you were to ask your regular physician, check my inflammation state, that doctor would say, okay, there is a test called an ESR, erythrocyte sedimentation rate, ESR. It's a common test. It's done most often, I would say, by primary healthcare providers and rheumatologists, but every doctor knows what an ESR is. And they will tell you that that is a non-specific inflammatory marker, and they would be right. It means your red blood cells are sticking together, usually because your immune system is affecting your red blood cells. They stick together in clumps that in the laboratory, those clumps, when they have your blood in this tube, the clumps sink to the bottom very fast. And those red blood cells are called erythrocytes. So the erythrocyte sedimentation rate, how quickly those red blood cells hit the bottom, sedimentation rate, is higher with inflammation. So you can ask your doctor for an ESR, and there are some general nutritional considerations for the ESR that you might want to think about so that you might age better. Now, let me say this. If your ESR level is not abnormal, that doesn't mean you don't have inflammation. Remember, when your doctor says that you have an abnormal test result, what they're saying is that you have an abnormal test result, if we're talking about blood, when you are compared to other men or women your age who are seemingly healthy. Now, think about this, and this goes for any laboratory test. Before your laboratory test is abnormal, it's not, right? Your blood sugar is fine, and then one day you have hyperglycemia, high blood sugar. One day your thyroid testing is fine, and then all of a sudden one day you have hypothyroidism, low thyroid, or hyperthyroidism. One day your cholesterol levels are fine, your blood pressure is fine, and all of a sudden they're not. If you've listened to any of my prior shows, when I talked about how we age, I spoke about how we age in gradations, little bit at a time or a lot at a time, or sometimes things just break down all at once. My point is that when it comes to testing, like the ESR test or any test, I read laboratory work differently. Laboratory testing compares you to other men or women your age that are seemingly healthy. But think about the level of disease these days. We have more autoimmune disease, more heart disease, more stroke, more cancer. That implies, to me at least, that the ranges that we consider normal and acceptable on testing are not right. They could be better because they're not predicting and preventing these diseases. Now, I invented a way of interpreting laboratory work, which I call a blood detective interpretation. You couldn't have guessed that, right? What I do is I compare the results of a person's laboratory work to the regular ranges, like any doctor would. But I go further because I don't want for you to age normally. We want to age exceptionally well. We want to delay the onset of disability and disease. Some of my patients say, listen, Dr. Wald, I'm not interested in living longer. I just want to live better. Good. So that's how we do it. We look at the labs and we say, well, what is an optimal, super healthy place to be in the glucose range, in the cholesterol range, in the magnesium range, in the vitamin D range? Not just normal. Let me give you an example. With ESR, the normal range is 0 to 10. If you have a 9, your doctor is going to look at you in the face and say it's normal. But do you really think that a 9 is the same thing from an inflammation perspective as a 2? Of course not. You might say, well, that's common sense. That's blood detective common sense. Except it's not common sense in medicine. In medicine, there are certain criteria that must be met for doctors to go the next step with something. So if you have aches and pains and your ESR is under 10, then it's normal. But maybe you'd feel a lot better if it were a 2 or even a 0. The same thing for thyroid testing. Part of a thyroid panel is a TSH test. TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And that range of TSH, depending on the lab, it changes a bit, can be anywhere from about 0.5, so 0.5 to about 5.5 on average. And when your doctor looks at that test result, if you fall within that 0.5 to 5.5 range, you are fine, no matter how many symptoms you show. So if your TSH is high, or let's say high normal, let's say it's in the normal range, it's a 5, but you have all these other symptoms of low thyroid. Again, you might have memory issues. You might have digestive problems. You might have low energy. You might be losing hair. That's a very common thing I see on women. And they get their thyroids checked. They're within the range. But I have noticed that when the TSH range moves lower down on the scale, in TSH language, lower down actually means you're using your thyroid hormones better. And by doing that, it could help restore hair loss, lower cholesterol, give you better energy, memory, a better general appearance, and a greater sense of well-being is what I find my patients say. So let's talk about cholesterol. Now, cholesterol normal range is anywhere from 0 to 200. That's a pretty wide range. So that would be implying that no matter where you fall in that range, it's all equal in terms of health and disease potential, but it's not. But doctors forget this because They treat high cholesterol only, what is above 200. And they'll treat that with statin medications or other form of cholesterol-lowering medications. Now, the thing about cholesterol is that if you have a high cholesterol above 200, you certainly do have an increased cardiovascular risk. Now, let's say that your cholesterol is in the normal range at, let's say, 190. Don't you think that you might have a higher cardiovascular risk than if you had a cholesterol of 160? Yes, of course. And you might be thinking, well, this is pretty straightforward. I mean, there's an optimal place to be. And even though I could have laboratory findings like cholesterol and ESR and glucose and vitamin D and all of that in the normal range, I might be aging the way I am because I have not thought about where the optimal range is. Sometimes the optimal range is within the normal range, just differently placed, like I said with the thyroid hormone, the TSH that is, and the cholesterol. And sometimes it's higher. So it just depends on the test we're talking about. Some are better, they're more optimal with a higher number than normal, others with a lower number than normal, and others with somewhere in the normal range just placed differently. So I do a blood detective interpretation where I compare the results of laboratory work to those optimal ranges. Many of those optimal ranges are right in the medical literature. They're just not the standard of practice for some reason today. I can't really tell you why that is. I mean, we have many medical procedures and advances in nutrition and health that work, but they're not part of mainstream. I mean, that may be a political conversation to have. But going back to cholesterol, I use a product called Cholest Complex, which is sort of like a multivitamin of the specific sorts of things that the nutritional literature says helps cholesterol. That might work for certain people's cholesterol. But it's important that you recognize, because we're talking about how you age, that just because a bottle says exactly what you need it to do, you know, a cardio complex that'll lower, you know, that implies that it'll help your cardiac system lower your cholesterol, it might work for you, but you might need other things as a base for it to work. But I always do start those of my patients with high cholesterol on my Cholest Complex. And I give it to them based on the directions on the bottle. But it's important to look at everything in the labs. A person might have high cholesterol because their body is low in certain hormones. They're low in progesterone. They're low in testosterone. They're low in an adrenal hormone called DHEA. And if the body needs to make more hormones, then it makes those particular hormones I just mentioned from cholesterol. The liver makes the cholesterol. But somehow the cholesterol, think of it like a funnel. You know, the cholesterol is at the top, let's say on the ceiling, and that's supposed to trickle down and form several hormones, progesterone, pregnenolone, DHEA, testosterone, but there's something stuck up there. So we don't always want to just lower that cholesterol. There may be reasons why the body's increasing cholesterol. Another reason is cholesterol is an antioxidant. Now, I spoke a few minutes ago about another way that you're aging is because you have inflammation. Think of inflammation as oxidation. And think of oxidation as what happens to an egg when you put it in a frying pan. It oxidizes. It bubbles up. Now, think of your organs as that egg. So if your organs are oxidizing, they're slowly breaking up. And in some cases out there, not so slowly. And if you have persistent health problems, it is very likely, regardless of the health problem, that you have an inflammation problem, because it has been determined by scientists and physiologists that we age from inflammation. Now, if we could somehow repair that egg faster than it's degenerating, there would be less inflammation, obviously, and there would be better healing, and organs would have a better integrity. They would work better. So that's where nutrition comes in. So how do you figure out the nutrition you need? Well, here's what I would suggest. Number one is, and this is what I have all of my clients do, they complete my questionnaires that cover all of their different organ systems and symptoms. And based upon that, I look at what nutritional associations are consistent with your responses, your answers. And I will recommend a food plan that is doable. In other words, if I recommend food plans that are extreme and they're just impossible, then what good are they? So I always recommend food suggestions that are doable, but they do have to work. Some of you are thinking, well, I know how to eat. I'm going to eat very low down in the food chain, you know, less animal products like red meat. I'm going to eat much more fruits and vegetables. I'm going to eliminate gluten. I won't have any GMO foods. You see, we can get pretty extreme. Here's the thing about these ideal food plans, you know, low in sugar, refined and processed carbohydrates. All of those are valid. All of those are valid. But different individuals may decide that they cannot comply with eliminating everything they feel that they know they should. If that's the case, what I do in my practice is I adjust my supplement, my nutritional supplement recommendations to try and compensate for that. So if I know someone is eating, let's say, some bread from time to time and some gluten, I'm going to give them more enzymes, my detox absorb, because enzymes help break down gluten so that gluten doesn't occur to the body as gluten, and gluten can be very damaging in some individuals. So detox absorb enzyme would help compensate for the fact that this individual is getting some gluten in their diet. I would also, if this person said they're going to eat gluten from time to time, I would also recommend a very strong probiotic. Folks, I'm telling you, people out there are exaggerating misusing probiotics in some cases. Probiotics will help your intestinal tract work. We can all agree on that. Probiotics are also known to help the body deal better with gluten, which is why I'm mentioning it. So I put together a product called Superbugs, which has 100 billion probiotic organisms, a whole group of them that work well together in a single capsule. It's so stable, it doesn't have to be refrigerated. Now, here's what people are doing wrong with probiotics. Whenever they have a gut issue, for example, they take probiotics and they just assume that their probiotic is working, or they assume that that's all they need to take. So for example, if you have a gut issue and you're taking a probiotic, most people will think and say to me, "Doctor, well, yeah, I'm taking a probiotic already." There are different combinations of probiotics. There are different strengths of probiotics. There's different quality of probiotics. And the quality part, you can't tell by the number of probiotic bugs written on the bottle. That has to do with quality control. So how do you know about quality control? Well, you can call a company up that has a supplement you want to take and say, "I would like a full disclosure label of your product." If they say to you, "Huh? What?" You say, "Thank you very much," and hang up. If on the other hand they say, "Quality control, absolutely, we'll send that right to you," then you can know if the product contains heavy metals. You can know how potent the product is. You get an assay of how the product works. And these generally should be independent assays from the company, so they're not biased. So needless to say, all the products that I make have that level of quality control, because not all supplements are the same. How we age, in my view, is the end result of the ability of our bodies not to repair themselves. And depending on how your body does not repair, you have certain symptoms and you're diagnosed with this or that specific disease. What all these diseases and all these symptoms and problems may have in mind is fundamentally you not getting your nutrition right. Now, another aspect of what you need to know about why you might be aging the way you are, and for those of you out there who are eating what you think is well, which you might be. You just may not be absorbing it well enough. Or even if you are, foods may not be enough. It comes back to supplements and how to take supplements and figure out how you should time them. Certain supplements should be taken with food. Certain supplements should be taken away. Nutritional supplements should be taken, for the most part, at least twice a day, sometimes three times if you're very sick or have a persistent health problem, because the level of vitamins in the body will diminish over the course of the day. So it's important that you take supplements throughout the day if possible. Now, if you are just too busy, I mean, even I claim this sometimes, to take my supplements three times a day. If I realize that that's a habit I'm getting into, I just can't take them three times a day on a routine basis, then I rebalance them for twice a day. It's not as good as three times a day, but it's pretty darn good. So we need to take a step back, take a breath, and realize that getting healthy and for you to age better does not have to be difficult. It requires some attention by you, and then for you to determine, you know, what it is you can do in your lifestyle. Will you take supplements once a day? Will you take supplements twice a day? How far will you go with your diet? Now let's talk about how far you should actually go with your diet. Now I've said this on prior shows, and it's one of these blood detective aha moments for most people. And that is, we talk about how we are what we eat. But I say that we are what we absorb from what we eat. And then you should say, as a blood detective in training, oh yeah, that is obviously true. I never thought of that, but it's clearly true. So the points I'm trying to bring up on this show and on other shows are not insights that are just mine, that you should say, well, you know, Dr. Wald says we are not just what we eat, but what we absorb from what we eat. But there's inherent truth in this, just hearing the statement, that is really hard to argue. So if I say to you, we're not what we eat, we're what we absorb, you know, through our digestive tracts. And furthermore, our health is a result of how we activate and use the supplements. You'd say, oh, well, sure. So let's see. We need to eat, we need to absorb, and we need to activate. Some people, due to their way of aging, do not activate their supplements correctly in their liver and their intestinal tract. And that also might be contributed to by problems of digestion in the stomach. That's why most of my supplements contain activated forms of nutrients. So we talked about superbugs, pharmaceutical grade probiotics. I talked about the use of stomach acid. I use betaine HCl in a pharmaceutical grade. And you never should take this or any of these things without getting professional guidance. And then we talked about enzymes that I believe practically everyone needs unless they have a contraindication. And there are a number of contraindications for using different nutrients. They're far too numerous for me to mention on this show, but they're figured out. I figure that out per person I speak to. So I mentioned the superbugs, the detox absorb. I'd like to mention, and I mentioned the B12, folic acid activated forms, which was sublingual. The other approach that I have to having individuals potentially age better is to provide them with four superfoods. These are powders, and they're just mixed together and diluted with water or put in a smoothie. And then that's it. Studies have shown that societies and groups who consume more plant-based products, which are found in my four products called Detox, that's DTOX 1, Detox 2, Detox 3, and Detox 4, these are superfoods that contain hundreds of different plant products that I personally designed to cover a lot of nutritional bases. But these studies show that the higher our level of plant products, the lower our overall morbidity and mortality, meaning people tend to live longer and better. They tend to delay the onset, the early onset of diseases that could have been prevented by years or even decades just by consuming Plant products. Here's the problem, though. Here's the caveat. The amount of plant products we would need to consume would be bowls and bowls and bowls of fruits and vegetables. Or we can take dehydrated, stable products that I call superfoods. So over the course of my 27 years of experience, I've gathered a lot of knowledge in this area. I formulated these detox 1-4 products. One of them is green, one of them is orange, one is red, and one is purple. The color differences are based on the concentration of different plant products. But when I want to just support someone's overall health nutritionally, the very first thing I do is place them on a half a scoop of each of these detox 1-4 products. Now, you might be able to get another, let's say, product in the store that's green, red, purple, or orange. But you really want to know who's designed them. And you need to have confidence in what's in them. And this has been an issue. So I'm going to be very frank right here and say that, yes, I would prefer if my clients used my supplement products because I formulated them. I know what's in them. I'm familiar using them. But I also will respect any patient's decision to take whatever supplements they want. But I would appeal to their common sense. If they've been taking those products and they still have issues, they might want to switch. So when it comes to aging, how do you know that you're actually aging better? Well, that's pretty easy. And I get that question a lot. They say, well, how do I know, Dr. Wald, this is all going to work? Well, number one, you should feel better. And then they'll say, well, how long will it take until I feel better? Well, that, as you might imagine, is an individual thing. One individual might respond in a couple of weeks and feel better in all kinds of ways when I do this blood detective workup and I provide them superfoods and I manage and I test for malabsorption issues. You know, most people that I see over the course of nearly 3 decades of practicing, I'm shocked. They get all these sophisticated tests and none of absorption. None of immune resiliency. I haven't mentioned that one yet. No testing of nutrient use, only nutrient levels. I have other Ask the Blood Detective shows that you can find on my blog at integratednutritionny.com or blooddetective.com, which talk in more detail about all of these things. There's one whole show on absorption. There's one whole show on activation of nutrients. And I should mention one other important test that I cannot overemphasize, and that is your blood pH, which is an acid-based measurement. And some of you are saying, oh, urine, saliva pH? Yep, no, that's not what I'm talking about. The blood pH is the most important of all the pHs to measure for overall health, except if you have a urinary tract infection, because your urine pH would likely be too alkaline. It should be on the acid side, which confuses some of you out there because you've heard that you should be alkaline. That statement, here's another blood detective insight. What do you mean you should be alkaline? Your urine should be slightly acid. Your stomach should be acid. Your mouth should be alkaline. Your large intestine should be slightly acid. Your small intestine, slightly alkaline. So there is no you should be alkaline. We need to be specific what we're talking about. And the blood, the red blood, the systemic arterial blood, and also the venous blood should be about 7.4. And I find that many individuals have abnormal pHs. You can take the best nutrients in the world and eat the best diet and exercise. But you want to do that making sure your pH is in the right place. However, if you have cancer, and this is a generalization, there are studies that show, and I have read these and I function out of this knowledge, that the blood pH should be higher. Some of you out there have these degenerative conditions and believe that being alkaline is good for you. Okay, let's assume it is, and it is in the case of most cancers. But have you measured your blood pH? Do you know it's alkaline? At best, my patients say, I've done urine pHs or saliva pHs. That is not correct. You age the way you age, often because your pH is off. Just like the pH in a lake or a pool, it needs to be just so for a particular purpose. If you have a degenerative disease, you may want a slightly higher pH than 7.4. You never really want a pH less than 7.35. So this sounds a little complicated, but basically we need to control pH, we need to know what you're absorbing, we need to make sure you're taking activated nutrients, we want to compare your blood work to healthy, not just average. We want to put all of the lab work together. We want to take nutritional supplements in addition to a healthy diet. A healthy diet has certain basic components, like I mentioned earlier, but depending on your needs, you might need an adjustment to those basic components, just like if you were a weightlifter or an athlete, or you were pregnant, or you had kidney failure, or you had cardiovascular disease, or whatever problem, or cancer, the healthy diet now must change. But diet takes a very long time to work in many cases, depending on the problem. That's why, at least I believe, we need to complement our diets with supplements. But the nutritional supplements must be of high quality, and they should be based on health goals, the time you want to get to a health goal, whether you're absorbing or not, and everything else we find in your health history. At the end of the day, simple. What you get is you know what supplements to take, you know how to eat in a way that is manageable in your lifestyle, you know how to exercise. Most people have no idea how to exercise. We want to have exercise that is consistent with the health problem we want to manage. And, you know, exercise uses up nutrition and calories, right? So we can't ignore the nutritional needs to account for that. So with every patient that I have, I make sure to account for all the recommendations, exercise and other stresses in their lifestyle, whether they take medications, all of that are a key for figuring out how much of a nutritional supplement someone should take. Now, I want to tell you all about some exciting events coming up. If you go to integratednutrition.com, go to my Facebook link at the bottom of the page, you're going to see about 10 different free health talks that start on October 24th and go throughout December. They're all free. The first one on October 24th is about vitamins, minerals, and herbs, all the basic and advanced applications. And you will learn a lot more about how to properly choose nutrients. And the most exciting event, please write this down, is November 11th. You have to RSVP. It's a healthy breakfast and talk that I'm presenting called Feed Your Belly and Your Brain. And that's in my office in Westchester, New York. For those of you who want more information, again, go to the website at integratednutritionny.com or call me at 914-552-1442. There's limited space. All the talks are free. I hope to see you there very soon. One more time for the contact information. integratednutritionny.com. Go to the Facebook page, and you can just message me that you want to RSVP. Invite your friends. Space is limited. It's in Westchester, which is just an hour north of New York City, an hour on the Metro North train. You're right there. It's going to be great. And then the special event is November 11th. Feed Your Belly and Your Brain, a holistic breakfast. See you there.
Show you.